Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 75 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers. The Rowan County School District's summer feeding program began this week. A bridge in Elliott County will be repaired after being closed for 2 years. Economic development is expected to begin rebounding in the Commonwealth. Kentucky's COVID-19 death audit is complete. The University of Kentucky will not mandate COVID vaccination for the fall. Bills favored by LGBTQ+ rights groups are not expected to see statewide movement. In sports, a second drug test of a sample taken from a Kentucky Derby winner came back positive this week. A 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 61. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Students in Rowan County needing meals this summer can find some assistance through the Rowan Board of Education's Summer Feeding Program. The program will run through the 25th of June. Glenn Teeger is the finance officer and food service director for the Rowan County Board of Education. He says the district is glad to be able to provide the service for the community.
So each day, any community members age 0 to 18 are eligible to pick up a free meal. We are located at the new Viking Complex, which houses the CO and the preschool and the alternative school. Pickup is on the high school side of that building. We've got signage to point people in that direction.
Students needing meals can do so Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. No sign-up is necessary. A historic bridge over the Little Sandy River in Elliott County will be restored after being closed for more than 2 years. The Laurel Gorge Bridge along Kentucky 7, now known as the Laurel Curves Road, connects the scenic gorge to the Laurel Gorge Cultural Heritage Center. Elliott County Judge Executive Myron Lewis says officials have fought for 2 years to get the bridge replaced instead of removed, arguing it's a vital asset to the county's tourism industry.
Our tourism is going to be devastated if you think you're going to remove this bridge. You're looking at all kinds of hiking, bicycling, horses, maybe zip lines, maybe some other things that our tourism committee here in Elliott County can get rolling on.
Last week, state officials announced nearly $1 million in funding for the bridge repairs. Work is now underway and expected to be completed later this summer. A subcommittee on economic development and tourism met this morning to discuss the impact of COVID-19 on the state's tourism industry. Officials from tourism and parks, as well as local officials from across the Commonwealth, painted a picture of losses because of the pandemic in those areas, but there's also optimism going forward. According to WKYT, industries like hotels and motels took a hit during the pandemic, especially in the beginning when the industry seemingly came to a halt overnight. However, other parts of the state saw a huge boost, mainly outdoor activities and state parks. Officials say the state will suffer an estimated $2.3 billion in revenue losses from tourism because of the pandemic. Officials are hoping that the uptick currently being seen, as well as additional investment, will make the tourism and hospitality industries continue to rebound strongly. Kentucky is closing out its audit of COVID-19 deaths that went unreported during the worst months of the pandemic. As the state marked a month-long decline in cases Tuesday, Governor Andy Beshear reported one new death linked to COVID-19. The total number of deaths rose by another 260 as the state wrapped up an audit meant to revisit death certificates issued between November and February. That review was extended back to the beginning of the pandemic when the state noticed COVID deaths from even earlier showing up in health department records. Beshear described the audit as the most comprehensive undertaken anywhere in the United States, adding that he expects the reports of deaths in Kentucky to slow now that it's complete.
We won't see deaths coming in, or many deaths coming in, that are 3, 4, 6 months old.
The governor said senior centers are cleared to reopen on June 11th when the state will lift nearly all virus-related restrictions. University of Kentucky is sticking with its plan not to mandate COVID-19 vaccination for students returning in the fall. UK spokesman Jay Blanton has said vaccines have been a game changer when it comes to plans for a more normal fall semester.
That's why we've pushed so hard to have our campus community vaccinate. It's why we've tried to be so much a part of the solution for our community and our state in terms of partnering to get people vaccinated.
Most of those set to work and learn on campus will receive the shots even without a requirement. Right now, the school reports 80% of faculty, 70% of staff, and more than 61% of students have opted for the vaccination. Some Kentucky colleges, including Berea and Simmons College in Louisville, have decided to make vaccination a prerequisite for returning to school. U of L, Western Kentucky University, and Morehead State are all encouraging but not requiring vaccination. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday. Online Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Kentucky lawmakers used the first day of Pride Month to revive bills favored by LGBTQ plus rights groups. But for now, action on the issue remains largely confined to local initiatives. Democratic members of the House, Lisa Wilner and Patty Minter, are filing or refiling statewide fairness legislation, LGBTQ plus inclusive health education, and a ban on conversion therapy. Lack of action in Frankfort on the proposed ban recently led Lexington's Urban County Council to enact its own policy barring state-licensed therapists from engaging in any practice meant to change a minor's sexual orientation or gender identity. Here's Council Member Liz Sheenan.
There isn't state legislation that prohibits this, so I do believe that we need something at the local level to stand firm on the practice.
According to the Fairness Campaign, so far 10 Kentucky cities covering just over 25% of the state have passed local fairness ordinances protecting LGBTQ plus citizens from discrimination in housing, employment, and public accommodations. A copper recycling company is building a new $100 million facility in Shelby County and plans to hire 75 workers. Wyland North America will begin building the facility in October. The plant will melt copper and copper alloy, according to a news release from the Kentucky Governor's Office. The German company earlier this year announced plans to locate its new North American headquarters in Louisville. The Shelby County facility is expected to be completed by the end of next year. Officials with the Better Business Bureau are warning individuals to be attentive when dealing with door-to-door salesmen this summer. Door-to-door sales see an uptick during the warmer months each year, and the Bureau has already received reports of fraudsters selling home security systems. Heather Clary is with the BBB in Lexington. She says many of the scam artists will claim to be with the company the individual is already receiving their home security services from.
Some might use the sign that's sticking in your yard or the sticker on your door that says who your provider is, and they may use that to kind of imply they're there with them to do an upgrade or something of that nature to kind of get your trust. In many cases, your regular security company is not going to show up at your door unannounced and ask to do this.
Clary says to also be aware of the typical red flags, such as high-pressure tactics, lack of company identification, and deals that sound too good to be true. A new app launched in Pikeville designed to allow residents to report potholes, open utility bills, or pay accounts. The new website and app also allow users to apply for a permit or available jobs and make reservations for community centers, shelters, or the RV park. Pikeville City Manager Philip Elswick tells WSAZ it's Virtual City Hall. The app is meant for people when they're out in town and see something they want to notify the city about.
This is a really good resource for them to be able to notify us of those problems. And they're GPS located, so we know exactly where they are, where to go to fix it. And then when it's repaired, we will notify the individual that reported it that it's been corrected.
The app, which can be downloaded for free, is available for Apple and Android users. A new theater company in Johnson County will give high school graduates an opportunity to return to the stage after their acting careers were put on hiatus due to the pandemic. Appletown Productions is holding auditions this week for a production of Mamma Mia, with shows slated for later this summer. The show was originally intended to be for recent high school graduates, but has now expanded to include all local community members. Appletown Productions music director Adam Treadway tells WYMT bringing back theater is exciting for everyone involved.
You don't really realize how much you miss it until it's gone for a little bit, and then it'll just hit you in the face.
For more information about the new theater company and auditions, visit Appletown Productions on Facebook. West Virginia's governor has confirmed that he is personally liable for millions of dollars in loans taken by his coal company. WMKY's Carrie Stambo has more.
Governor Jim Justice said Tuesday at a press conference that he is personally liable for $700 million in loans taken by his coal company from a lender in the United Kingdom, which went bankrupt in March. The Associated Press reports that Justice blames the lender, Greensill Capital UK, saying 2 days after his company met with Greensill and was assured everything was fine, the lender announced it was filing for bankruptcy. The Republican governor's coal company, Bluestone Resources Incorporated, sued Greensill after it went under over allegations of fraud. Justice says the loans were acquired to rebuild Bluestone after a period of decline. The Roanoke, Virginia-based company is involved in mining metallurgical-grade coal used for steelmaking. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Carrie Stambo.
And taking a quick look at sports this afternoon, a second drug test of a sample taken from Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit following last month's race has also come up positive for an illegal substance. That's according to the New York Times and CNBC. The second test, taken at the request of trainer Bob Baffert, means the horse is a step closer to becoming just the second Derby winner to later be disqualified in the race's 147-year history. Medina Spirit won the Kentucky Derby on May 1st and marked a record seventh Derby win for Baffert. However, a post-race drug test showed that the horse tested positive for betamethasone, a banned substance. Following the positive test, Churchill Downs suspended Baffert from racing horses at the track. According to the AP, Medina Spirit is Baffert's fifth horse to fail a drug test in the past year. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a high near 76. Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low around 58. Friday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, passable in the afternoon hours, mostly sunny with a high near 80. Friday night, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms with overnight clear skies and a low around 59. And for your Saturday, sunny with a high near 85. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Wiley Tanner, Shamari Mosley, Cassidy Stearman, Jonathan Burton, Ethan Jenkins, Keneally Roberts, and WUKY's Josh James. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. Now back to All Things Considered.